It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Thank you so much for joining us and for listening. Each of you are treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. You were made for this time. We are Americans. And be sure and step into each day for sure. Thank you to this great team I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Monday to you, producer Steve.
Oh, you just had to say it like that. You couldn't say happy day before Tuesday, could you?
I'll try to remember to do that. I'll make a note of that, producer Steve. But my gosh, as we look at this packet that Patty has put together, there's never a dearth of things to talk about, for sure.
You need a three-hour show. That's all there is to it.
I know it. Although, you know, we try to jam all this into 1 hour. And the reason is because people are busy. And we hope that you know that there's going to be an hour that you can focus. And we're going to go through a lot of issues. We always have a guest to really kind of do a deep dive into these issues. Today we'll be talking with Larry Behrens, who is with Power of the Future, about this monstrosity of this bill that they have out there. They're going to try to possibly pass this via reconciliation, which it's way beyond the rules that's supposed to happen. But I guess what? There's all kinds of tax breaks, crony tax breaks in this thing for the Dems and their buddies. And so we'll talk a bit about that and who would really be footing the bill on this baby.
You know, it's funny. You know, people might think that the show hosts on KLZ, you know, kind of meet and coordinate what they're going to do. And that's not true. They don't. I had to laugh on Saturday. I was listening to John Rush. And sure enough, every week on his car show, one of his callers will call and try to sell him on EVs. And I don't know if there's anybody more well-equipped to argue the point than John Rush. But why did I mention this? I don't know.
Oh, I know why, because there would be a big tax break for people that are buying those very expensive EVs. So that's probably what made you think of that, producer Steve.
Well, it's funny because you can tell once the caller gets into it, 20 seconds, you can hear John's voice kind of change inflection a little bit, and he's prepared. I mean, he's got all kinds of things that's saying. And he says what we always say here, we're not against the technology when it's mature and, you know, not so full of holes.
Well, and not only the technology thing, though, Steve, and that is the energy source. And here we have seen public policy here in Colorado that has done everything possible and somewhat successfully to try to shut down our fossil fuel industry. And fossil fuels has been one of the great things for the middle class in America. Fossil fuels has made people's lives better across the globe. And so here, what they're doing is shutting down an energy source that is abundant and efficient and reliable here in America, and trying to push us to an energy source that would be more dependent on China and take away our energy independence. And the more demand there is for electricity, the more expensive it's going to be. And on Wednesday, we're going to have a conversation about the grid and all of these big electric transformers that have come in from China. So we have all these vulnerabilities regarding that energy source. And then we've got public policy that is trying to convince people to even put more demand, more reliance on an energy source that is more and more dependent on China. And that's one of the reasons why I'm really concerned about electric vehicles, also known as EVs.
Well, one thing's for sure. In the last 50, 60 years, politicians have figured it out. You want to, I hate to even say it, buy votes, then get on a topic like EVs or border security, or I hate to even think about it, abortion, and politicize it, and you're doomed. You cannot get down to the brass tacks, the truth, the bottom line. You just can't do it.
Well, wait a minute. That's what we do every day, is to shed light on this. And I know that I was up in Grand Lake this weekend for the culmination of the premier U.S. Constitution Week in all of America, and that is Grand Lake's U.S. Constitution Week. And the thing is we have to continue to shed light on this and to speak truth into this and not give up on that, because every little piece of truth that we speak into this starts to chip away at that big lie that's out there. And I had thank you to all of you who came up and said hello, and that you listen to the show or will start to listen to the show. And so that is our goal, is to look at these issues and search for truth and clarity by looking at them through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And if something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it. And it's never compassionate to take other people's rights and their property, their freedom, or their livelihood. We see this right now via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, or this latest, and that is government-induced inflation. So, Steve, we have to speak truth into this and not give up and not become discouraged.
I agree. And I wonder, I didn't clear this with you before, but maybe introduce a new little segment into this already very crowded show. Maybe take 20 seconds to do it. Call it Food for Thought, where we don't take a particular story to the end conclusion. We just float enough of it out there to make people want to know more. What do you think of that?
I love that.
A great idea for today.
Okay.
The southern border. It's a mess, and it's not getting any better. But I heard several times over the weekend, I heard it again this morning, the density of Haitians in this crowd of people coming across the border. And I stopped and think about basic geography. The distance between Haiti and Mexico is 2,000 miles. How are these Haitians getting there? And we'll just leave it there. I mean, just go try to find the answer to that question.
Who's funding it? Absolutely. I think that's a great idea. So, yes, let's think about adding that into this already jam-packed show to bring information to people. But that food for thought is, and that's just a good question to ponder with other people as well, to get their thinking caps going as well. So I like it.
And it's not to say that there might be a couple Haitians, a dozen Haitians, 50 Haitians in this mass of people. But they keep on saying the density is so high. And I think, how did they get there?
How did that happen? And where's the news media, the investigative news media, trying to figure that out? Where are they?
Piffle.
Yeah, I know it. Hey, so be sure and check out our website as well. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can find out all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent op-eds, our most recent podcasts. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And I appreciate all of you who support us as well. And I just have to talk just a little bit about Grand Lake. First of all, it is one of my most favorite places in the whole world. And this little community, all volunteers, put together this week to celebrate the U.S. Constitution Week. The keynote speaker was Joshua Dunn, who we've had on the show. He is a professor at University of Colorado Springs. Really was great. Talking about de Tocqueville and talking about the American idea and what's going on now. And it was really terrific. But Steve, they had a flyover of four F-16s. And Mike Tompkins, we had lunch afterwards, a number of us. And he said, you know, they're flying low when you can see the ripples on the lake. It was impressive.
Well, it was impressive. Who was it? One of the Constitution Week organizers talked about it last week. He said, this wasn't just we didn't just call them up and say, hey, could you fly up here over the weekend? They had to write letters to the Pentagon, and they went way out of their way. But I think it was worth every ounce of energy they expended on it.
Oh, it was absolutely fabulous. The Weather Committee did a great job, and it is truly my honor to get to MC that event. And the parade was fun, and the kids, and the flag, and at the end of Main Street, they had two of the fire trucks and a, you know, with their ladders, and then a flag hanging down between it. It was just absolutely fabulous, and I would highly recommend everybody get up there next year. It's just awesome.
Hey, do you have a minute to talk about this story from Jeffco or out of Jeffco
yes,
or the weekend?
We've got to talk about that. We do have to talk about that. And before we do that, though, let's our inspiration / wisdom / thought for the day. And that is, it's anonymous today. And since we're going to be talking with Larry Behrens in the third and fourth segment about this big tax bill, he said, a fine is a tax for doing something wrong. A tax is a fine for doing something right.
Well, geez, we must be doing a lot of things right.
True. That congratulations on that.
At the federal, yes, state, and local level.
Oh, boy.
We must be terrific.
Congratulations on that. Yes. Okay. Let's get over here to this. And this was Beth Parker sent out this email. She's with Jeffco Kids First. And if you want more information, her email is this, elizabeth.parker09@gmail.com. That's elizabeth.parker09@gmail.com. And it says, regardless of where you live, you should be informed of what is about to happen this Tuesday. That's September 21st at 9 a.m. in Judge ARP's courtroom in Jefferson County. Under the direction of Executive Director Don Comstock of Jefferson County Public Health, JCPH initiated a lawsuit against three private faith-based schools, Faith Christian Academy, Beth Eden Baptist School, and Augustine Classical Academy. In addition, Jefferson County Public Health had retained, presumably with taxpayer dollars, meaning if true, they are using taxpayers' dollars to sue taxpayers. Wheeler Trigg O'Donnell to sue the schools from whom JCPH claimed were not following their public health order, PHO. By the way, Wheeler Trigg O'Donnell is one of the nation's premier litigation firms and the firm used to represent Pfizer. Keep in mind, this is the same Don Comstock who threatened in writing the superintendent of Jeffco Public Schools and declared the need to remove religious exemptions from the public health order, as revealed through CORA, that's the Colorado Open Records Act. Don Comstock is a non-medical doctor in an appointed position who has orchestrated a massive overreach, an overreach that will come to your county and district if JCPH wins in court. If you think the public health department cannot come after you, your children, and or your school, think again. This affects all of us, and no one should slumber or turn a blind eye to this injustice. Please act now and show support of these schools in word and deed. Any and all questions can be directed to, now this is what they have, and that is Beth Parker at Jeffco Kids First, and that's elizabeth.parker09@gmail.com, elizabeth.parker09@gmail.com. She must be organizing all of this, and so she would be the person, the point person on this, I guess. I tell you what, Steve, this is scary.
Once again, I can't fathom it. No humility, no humbleness in a government position, but nothing but, you know, fangs bared, and here we go.
I know. It is pretty amazing. So let's go to break. Before we do that, though, we are an independent voice, and so we really appreciate all your support as well as the great sponsors I get to work with. And Hooters Restaurants has been a longtime sponsor of the show, and they have five locations, and that's Loveland, Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. And now that we're into football season, if you're going to have friends over, they have a party pack to go. It's not valid on delivery or dine-in. It is, so you have to go by and pick it up. And it's $80, and it includes 50 wings, and one of the following appetizers: fried pickles, cheese sticks, beer cheese pretzels, four orders of curly fries, and four mini desserts. So I think you get all that. And then you can have an optional add-on for a six-pack of beer. And so, again, we're in football season. I think there must be Monday night football. I'm not paying a whole lot of attention to football these days, Steve. But, again, they have all kinds of specials. Check out my website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And click on my sponsors tab. And all those sponsors, I know all of them, highly recommend them. But click on the Hooters tab there, and you will see all their specials. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, we realize that the school board elections are so important. And we'll be talking with a woman who is running for Cherry Creek School District School Board, and that is Shamae Navarro, and we'll find out what she thinks about all of this that's going on. We'll be right back.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Show, I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson. M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. My friends, we are realizing how important these school board races are. And the left has really taken over many of these local government offices, whether or not it's city councils. And when I say the left, the radical activist left, or our school board races, they have a target on county commissioner races. And so it's I've realized in talking to all of these really amazing school board candidates that people are stepping forward. And I'm really excited to have on the line with me Shamae Navarro. And she is running for Cherry Creek School Board. Shamae, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So the question always is, why? Why are you running for Cherry Creek School Board?
Yeah, so I'm a part of a group of parents, you know, that we work hard and we've just given we've given our trust to the school system to just raise our most prized possession, our children. And over the last like little bit, we've realized, oh my gosh, wow, this is not the same system that we grew up with. We are seeing what you're saying, that radical left with an agenda. Putting high dollars into specific candidates to push a certain agenda in our schools. And that agenda is in direct opposition to what we believe as parents and in our country, honestly. So this is just a complete grassroots effort where I just want to put the parents' voices and concerns on the school board because we have nobody advocating for parents on there.
Well, and really how this was supposed to work is, now, first of all, my grandmother had an eighth grade education. I have a great public school education, but, I had ancestors that were in those little one-room schoolhouses. And you know what, Shamae, they really knew reading, writing, arithmetic, critical thinking, science, history, literature. They knew those things from those little schoolhouses. And if you don't think that's the case, check out the Saline County eighth grade examination from 1895. There's probably people with, I'm sure there's people with PhDs that could not answer that. I can't answer all those questions. But we've seen really that our school system and our school curriculum has been politicized. Yes. And I think that a lot of parents didn't realize what was going on. So in a way, the whole COVID-19 Wuhan China virus reaction disruption, it was a blessing because mm-hmm. the parents are looking and their kids are home from school and they're watching what's going on online. They're like, wait a minute, what is happening mm-hmm. here?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. We were hearing classes you know, as we're working at home too. My husband and my daughter would share the same office to do work. And some of the things he would say were concerning, like, wow, that they're really saying that. I had one teacher that pushed on me when I called and asked questions about what the homework was. She asked me, well, do you really feel like the Declaration of Independence is a perfect document? And she's a history teacher, and I was thrown back by that point of view. So there's an anti-American, anti-family agenda that our culture that's happening in our schools. You know, we've been showing up to school board meetings, advocating for our kids, and it's been shocking seeing the amount of teachers that taunt and make fun of us parents for being there. And that's a culture problem. There's something that needs to change in this environment where teachers realize that the best tool that a student has in their success in education is a family that cares and involved.
Well, and I didn't finish my thought on this. Is from those little one-room schoolhouses. No, from those little one-room schoolhouses, then communities came together. And as communities grew, they ended up having school boards that would hire teachers because not everybody in the community, you know, people were busy. And so it seemed like it was a good idea to have elected representatives to represent the community and the families, which would be the school board, that would then hire staff to run the school district, where the school board was to be responsible to the community and to the teachers. And when the teachers' unions started to get their candidates on, we realized they were no longer for students and families, and many times not even for the teachers. They were for an agenda.
Exactly. And that's where it has gotten really concerning. The teachers' union, I mean, I'm just a mom that got into this that's concerned. And to see how the vitriol that comes from the teachers' union, that's concerning and scary, and it shows you how nefarious their agenda is.
Well, and so let's get to the big questions then, and that is forced mask wearing, first of all. Forced mask wearing of our children. And I'm going to go over here and just re-mention something about my time up in Grand Lake. Just got back yesterday from the big celebration, the U.S. Constitution Week. Constitution Day is September 17th. And I want to address something that this teacher said to you, and that is, do you think the Declaration of Independence is a perfect document? Well, hardly anything is perfect out there, but my response would be the ideal is perfect, and that is this ideal that all men are created equal with rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. That's pretty good in my books there, Shanae.
Right? Agreed.
And so just talk to me a bit about this forced mask wearing. And what I was going to mention is Brenda Bach, who is the Grand County coroner, received the American Patriot Award up in Grand County because she is continuing to fight to get the correct designation regarding cause of death on two people that died in Grand County in November of 2020 from gunshot wounds. And the state of Colorado is counting those as COVID deaths. She's tried to get that corrected and has not gotten that corrected yet. So my point is there's false data out there that they are using to push forward an agenda on forced mask wearing and forced vaccines.
Yeah, the mask thing is a big aspect of why I'm voting or why I'm fighting, because I believe that parents are supposed to have that individual choice for their children to advocate for their special needs, for their learning needs, for their mental health needs. And what we're seeing happening is the school, you know, I was in the board meetings before Tri-County came down with their tyrannical, you know, mandate. And then the revision of their mandate, which included everyone. And the school was just waiting for Tri-County to do this so that they could lock it down. You know, they are bullying parents who are advocating for their kids to breathe freely. You know, we have a kid who has special needs. Our special needs kids are being isolated, are being treated. Yes, they're actually,
it's terrible.
They have a letter from a provider saying they are not medically inclined to wear these masks, yet the school is still grooming them to wear a mask. They're putting them on their desk. They're putting them in their hand. And it's a progression to where they are compliant. And these poor moms are in tears, you know, at a loss, not knowing what to do because they're not being heard. The Cherry Creek School District has a committee that is deciding just based off of a paper whether or not to validate exemption or not. You know, I actually have a suffocation trauma, and I have deviated septum, nasal blockage, all that kind of stuff. My doctors, because UC Health, they are completely compliant with this agenda. They are not writing any sort of letters of exemption. And I got one from my counselor. Well, that's not sufficient enough for Cherry Creek School District. And how rude they are being to me and as adult, trying to advocate for my body autonomy to be able to breathe from my one little nostril that I have. It's such bullying that if they're treating an adult like that, I cannot even imagine what they're doing to our kids. You know, we're hearing little kindergartner kids that are terrified, pinching the mask on their nose so hard that their mask came home with blood all in it.
Oh, my gosh.
You know?
Well, and, you know, the thing about it, Shamae, is that there is free market answers to this. And that can be that if parents want to make sure that their kids are masked up or totally vaccinated, you could have a school that is what that school does. But then you could have another school where parents have a choice. Mm-hmm. And it seems like there's no creativity with the school board on this. Let's mention one other thing is CRT, critical race theory, or mm-hmm. any of its cousins, iterations thereof. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I'm Hispanic. I come from a fully Hispanic family, and I grew up actually in the school district. I lived outside of the school district and was allowed to come to Cherry Creek because of a diversity program that, you know, allowed me to have that school choice. I grew up in Cherry Creek schools before this equity, diversity, and inclusion, ideals were pushed in. And I have to say that we are losing that resilience in kids to just reach for the stars. We're losing just a fighter in kids to just go for it. You know, when we're telling kids of color that they are just stuck in this system that's racist to them, that's just going to hinder them at every block they have, they are just going to look at everything like it's against them, and there's no fight, or there's no, you know, failure to, what's that called?
Well, you know. What you're saying is fight that resiliency, that realizing that you're an individual and you have within you the power to, you know, chase your dreams and, you know, control your own destiny on that. And this is very serious. So how will you fix this once you're on the Cherry Creek School District Board?
You know, I think as they call it, a BIPOC, I can be a voice that just asks questions like, well, why are we doing that? You know, well, what do you think this produces? You know, I'm actually seeing that diversity and equity, inclusion, ideals, those are a farce. You know, they don't really implement it. And you can tell that by how they're treating the disabled kids, you know, how they're treating them. It's been insane. So that's just a farce so that they look good. They can pat themselves on the back. I'll be pushing against it, you know, asking questions, you know, focusing on the individual child and building their educational needs. I just think that telling white kids that they are this and telling brown and black kids that they're this, that we box them in and we separate them and we completely make them into enemies. And that's just not good for the future or our kids. We have families that, you know, have parents that have two different races, and it's very confusing in those homes. For the kids. Yes. And it's just, and these parents are going to these meetings advocating for this, and they're being laughed at, you know, being told that we're not educated on these ideals. So we don't have a standing. So it's been concerning.
Even though it might be a mixed race family, it's beyond belief. But hey, Shamae, we're out of time, but how can people get more information about you?
Yeah. Visit my website. It's Navarro, NAVARRO. CCSD.com.
thank you for stepping forward. This is how it's supposed to be, is everyday individuals stepping into these servant leadership here. So I really appreciate that.
Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate being able to talk and fight for this. Thanks.
You bet. Okay, and we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Larry Behrens. He's written a piece in Town Hall about the Biden infrastructure plan, the green agenda wins and working families lose. You will not want to miss this. Stay tuned.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice that's searching for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. We're all hearing a lot about this big, big spending bill, tax and spending bill that is at the Senate right now. And Larry Behrens is the director of communications for the energy nonprofit Power the Future. And he's shedding light on the tax breaks that the Democrats hope to tuck into the reconciliation plan. And he's explaining that this once-in-a-generation tax increase is unsustainable. And he's written this piece in Town Hall, The Biden Infrastructure Plan, The Green Agenda Wins, Working Families Lose. Larry Behrens, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, this is really important. Larry, as I go through and do quotes for our show, and sometimes it's good to go to the other side. And I found this quote from Vladimir Lenin, who was the Soviet dictator. And he said that basically the way to crush the middle class is through taxation and inflation. And that seems like that is the agenda for the Democrats right now. Very concerned about this. So what do you think?
I absolutely agree. You know, something that I think would be, well, there's a lot in this infrastructure bill that would be interest to your listeners, but one in particular with what you're talking about this morning would be a provision in there that goes to every electric provider in the United States. So whoever pays the electric bill, this would affect you. Where you get your electric bill from, the federal government would come to them if this was enacted, and they would say, you have to generate X amount of your electricity from only these sources, and you have to increase that amount every year. So maybe it's 4% this year, but 6% next year, 10%, and so on and so forth, to reach their arbitrary goals. Well, here's where it really starts to hurt. They're forcing your electric provider to go to sources that may be, probably are, more expensive. And so that's going to increase your bills. That's going to hurt the working class. And if the electric provider says, no, we're going to keep our bills affordable for our customers, the federal government will then fine them untold amounts of money. And so that also increases your electric bill. And so when you talk about, you know, forced versus individual, this is the federal government saying you have to buy electricity from here. And oh, by the way, it also happens to be people who have donated a ton to Joe Biden's campaign. And they can only do that. And what do you think? If someone has to buy from you, the government is forcing them to do that. Of course, they're going to raise their prices. And then your electric bills, as we've seen everywhere else this has been tried, it goes up. And so working families who are already struggling at the pump or maybe struggling with their electric bill because of, you know, renewable portfolio standards. I know there's more than a few of those in Colorado. Those electric bills will continue to skyrocket. And it's all because the federal government is forcing your electric provider to get energy from unreliable but expensive sources, as opposed to the source that is most available and most affordable to them.
Larry, what has been so interesting out here in Colorado, and I know that you are from New Mexico originally. Are you back east now, or are you still in New Mexico?
You know, I'm a little further east now. I'm in Missouri, but I grew up in New Mexico, have family in Colorado, and spent more than a few days in Colorado for sure.
Okay. So you're somewhat familiar with what has happened here. It's been astounding to me that this administration, this Polis administration, and has really been pushing our oil and gas industry out, if you will. So they're using policy
Absolutely.
To really kill one industry, which has been affordable, reliable, efficient. When we saw what happened in Texas with the ice storm and people died because the energy was not reliable at that particular point in time. And then, of course, prices went up after that. But here we've seen public policy trying to shut down this affordable, reliable, and efficient energy source, pushing us into an energy source that is not reliable, more expensive. But then also in this piece you've mentioned, and I've heard a lot about, the tax breaks for the rich in this whole thing. So they're making it more expensive for us to live, and then they're rewarding the rich. The Democrat Party, this whole idea that they're for the middle class and for the blue-collar workers and for the poor, it's just not true. It's for the rich these days.
It absolutely is. And another part of this bill, and you're exactly right. I mean, we're talking about a $3.5 trillion infrastructure bill that they're going to say is going to rebuild America. But on the flip side, they've proposed a $2.9 trillion tax increase. And they're going to come at you and say, oh, it's just the wealthy. Don't worry about it. But within their infrastructure bill is a subsidy, which they haven't given the amount yet, but it's a subsidy for people to buy electric vehicles. And it has been shown that those who buy electric vehicles are mostly wealthy. And it doesn't even say, that I'm aware of, that it doesn't matter how many electric vehicles you buy. So let's say you've already bought that Tesla. Okay, great for you. I just, as a taxpayer, shouldn't have to subsidize it. And the Biden infrastructure plan wants so much more of that. But it gets really, to your point, it gets more, and I'll use the word sinister after that. So let's say you have a 100% battery-powered car. You know, I'm not talking a hybrid or anything like that. It's 100% battery-powered. That takes 183 pounds of copper per car to make that car go. And with the Biden administration, you know, fighting mining in New Mexico, probably fighting mining in Colorado, definitely fighting mining in Alaska, what does that mean? That means that copper has to come from somewhere, and it has to come from China. And so, and I'll just give you another quick 1-2 punch. I know you, Colorado has great oil, natural gas development down in your southwest part of the state around Cortez and Durango and so forth. And yet the Biden administration has put a moratorium on public lands on those that a federal judge says was illegal. At the same time, everyone in the country is paying high cost at the pump. So how does Joe Biden decide to alleviate that? Not to give Coloradans jobs in the southwest part of the state or anywhere else there's oil and natural gas development, but decides to go to OPEC, go to Saudi Arabia,
right,
Venezuela, Russia, and say, produce more energy. So you're going to have China produce more copper for your electric cars. You're going to have Russia and Venezuela produce more oil so that it's, you know, quote-unquote affordable. Meanwhile, Americans are out of a job. It doesn't make any sense to anyone who pays objective opinion to this.
So, Larry, the question really is, as I look at this administration, it seems like, again, it is an assault on the middle class. And then when I go over to this Lenin quote, that the way to crush the middle class is through inflation and taxation. And I hadn't really thought about this. My guest, who's also sponsor, Hal Van Herkey, was on Friday. And what he said is, there might be a lot of young people that say, well, what's the big deal about inflation? It doesn't really affect me that much. But he says what happens is that when you, so you are going to go out and buy a new car eventually, or buy a car. That car that used to maybe be $40,000 is $75,000 now. And I was thinking about it because we were just up in Grand Lake and loved the place. And they were celebrating U.S. Constitution Week. But the price of real estate has inflated significantly. And so it's like, why is everything inflating? Well, if you put all these dollars into the economy, it inflates the prices, which makes it less and less attainable for our young people and people trying to buy these things. And that was kind of an aha on inflation that I hadn't really thought about, Larry.
You're absolutely right. You know, I call it, and it sounds like a pejorative, and in some ways it is, I call it the luxury of detachment. And I use it a lot in the energy conversation. You know, I flip on a light, and for, you know, 99.9% of my life, that light has come on. I've never really known what it's like to have unreliable or no electricity in my life. And it's the same thing for young people. It has always been this way. They have always had the opportunity to benefit from the largesse that, you know, our way of life has delivered. And it's purposely delivered it, right? But now we're starting to mess with the fundamentals of that through things like inflation, through things like, you know, outsourcing our energy. Things that are really critical to our way of life are being put on unstable foundations for an agenda that doesn't make any sense, an agenda that doesn't empower our country, it doesn't empower our community. It empowers those who are really already in power, and it empowers those outside of the United States that are, you know, again, we'll go back to China and Russia. Apparently, you know, Joe Biden will approve natural gas lines for Russia, but not for the United States. It only makes sense if you think that, you know what, Joe Biden is beholden to radical green special interests in the United States. And so they only care about the political power here, and then what happens to the earth and what happens everywhere else on the planet, they don't care about as long as they have the political power here. And the first to pay for it, you're absolutely right, is the middle class, because they're the first ones to notice, hey, this is more than it was last year. Hey, this is costing me more. And you know, we have, I don't know, I should have looked at the unemployment rate for Colorado, but I can tell you to your neighbors to the south in New Mexico and your neighbors to the west in Nevada and California, the unemployment rate is skyrocketing. And so it is a situation where people, at a time where the economy is so shaky, they're raising these prices and crushing those who are trying to work hard and make a living for their families.
Larry, I think what let's do, because I want to talk to something that you just said, where they said that they are concerned about the earth, these wealthy elites. And I want to talk more about that. So let's go to break, because that is a bit more of a conversation on that. I'm talking with Larry Behrens. He's with Power the Future. And he has written a piece in Town Hall regarding this big, massive, quote-unquote, infrastructure plan. And green agenda wins, the elites win, the working families lose. And it's a very important thing to understand. Before we do that, though, and we had him on the show the other day, was Hal Van Herky, and a number of you reached out and said, gosh, I took so much hope from hearing what Hal had to say, and it was a really great show. And those podcasts and recaps of the show are on my website, kimmunson.com, so check that out. But Castlegate Knife and Tool, they're getting a lot of inventory in preparation for the holiday season. And so whether or not you are a chef or a collector or a sportsman, you need to get a gift, Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place for you. So check that out, castlegate.com. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back with Larry Behrens. We're talking about his opinion piece in Town Hall, the Biden infrastructure plan, green agenda wins, working families lose. We'll be right back.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for a weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. I'm talking with Larry Behrens. He is the Director of Communications for the energy nonprofit Power the Future. And he's looking at these tax breaks that are in this big Biden infrastructure plan. And the elites win. That is who the Democrat Party, that's who Biden, the Harris-Biden, Rice, Jarrett, and Obama administration are beholden to. And everyday people lose, and that is our big, broad middle class. There seems to be such an assault on our middle class right now. But Larry had mentioned that the there's this narrative out there that the green agenda is to take care of the earth. But yet pushing people to more and more electricity, making us more and more dependent on China as energy sources. And electric vehicles, he said an electric vehicle takes 183 pounds of copper. They have to mine that. And China doesn't care about the earth the way an environmentalist would indicate that they care about the earth. That just doesn't match up, Larry. So comment on that.
You're absolutely right. And so when you see these environmental groups, because you'll hear kind of levels of argument from them, you'll bring up the notion that, hey, what you're doing is costing jobs. And they'll say, well, you know, it's saving the earth. Hey, what you're doing is raising prices on working families. Well, you know what? No price is too big to save the earth. And it all goes back to that, right? This large existential, we have to save the earth on it. But when you see Joe Biden say, you know what? We need more oil. We just need it from OPEC. These environmental groups are quiet. When they see the Biden administration shut down a potential mine in Alaska for gold and copper that would go into solar panels and electric vehicles, they say, no big deal. We'll just get it from China. And as you pointed out, a country with, you know, an abysmal human rights and environmental record. And so you just have to start wondering, is this really about the environment? And I'll just throw in another one there. Joe Biden has said over and over how much he hates fracking. Apparently, he's all for it as long as it's in the Ukraine, because that's where a lot of the natural gas is coming from, and he's approving pipelines. And so you have this situation where you have these activities taking place in other parts of the planet that these environmental groups say they detest, and yet they keep quiet. I mean, we even had environmental groups send a letter to Congress saying, be nice to China. We know they're misbehaving, but we're going to try to be nice to them so that we can fight climate change here at home, because they are a source for that. And I can tell you straight up that members of Congress in the previous administration looked to see, hey, are there any foreign funders for these environmental groups? Because the agenda they're pushing sure seems to benefit a lot of foreign governments. Those Natural Resources Defense Council is one of them. They raised the concerns about. Those groups wouldn't respond, didn't answer. And so you have to wonder where this agenda is coming from, because it only seems to benefit not the American worker. It only seems to benefit foreign powers. And to your point, exactly, if it's about the environment, why don't they care about the skies above China? Why don't they care about the ground underneath Saudi Arabia? The fact of the matter is they don't. It is about them making money at home and wielding political power in Washington and in capitals all over the country.
Well, and to that point, we have a headline on our packet today that it looks like we may be looking to China for timber. Now, again, environmentalists have really closed down the lumber industry here in America. And I was just up in Grand Lake this weekend and looking, of course, there were these significant fires up in Grand Lake last October. And Larry, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that because of environmentalists, we have been mismanaging our forests. And I know that there have been different businesses that have gone to the state of Colorado and said, hey, you know what, we will clear the timber out, the dead timber out of these forests and help manage these forests have a business of that. And the state of Colorado did not let them do that. I look at the mountains and it's like, again, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out there's going to be a problem here with the mismanagement of our forests, and then the forests burn and pollute our air, and it's all because of mismanagement of forests. And so once again, there it's not that they care about the responsible management of our forests, the responsible management of our energy. It's just they don't want Americans to benefit from this, and this is pretty scary.
It absolutely is. And I'll make it even scarier for you, Kim. Sorry, I don't mean to scare everyone this early in the morning. But you know what? Joe Biden has nominated Tracy Stone Manning to be head of the Bureau of Land Management. The Bureau of Land Management has massive oversights over, I want to say, 13 million acres, if not more, of public lands in the United States, including a good amount in Colorado. So they get to say what happens on those public lands. You want to do something on those public lands, like, you know, drill for oil or lumber harvest like you're talking about, you need a permit. And so she would be the one, if Joe Biden has his way, to do that. Well, she was involved in a tree spiking incident in 1989 in Idaho. And the fact of the matter is, she sent a threatening letter to the Forest Service saying, if you go in there and harvest these trees, I can't, you would lose your FCC license if I read you the letter verbatim. And sadly, Colorado's two senators have voted to make her director of the Bureau of Land Management. So far, her nomination has been held up at the very last step. But along the way, Colorado's two senators have said, yep, this is the type of person we want running the Bureau of Land Management, someone who spikes trees. So when you talk about responsible forest management, anyone involved in tree spiking, I don't think would be considered responsible forest management, but yet that's who's Colorado's two senators say should be in charge of the Bureau of Land Management. And so to get to your larger point, you're absolutely right. And when environmentalists say it's about the earth, it's about saving the planet, I will guarantee you that someone harvesting lumber in a forest that they live nearby cares more about that air and about that earth than some detached environmental group from San Francisco or New York. I will guarantee you that an oil or natural gas worker down by Cortez cares much more about the water in that area than some, Natural Resources Defense Council lobbyist in Washington, D.C. They live on that land, so they take care of that land, and they responsibly develop that land. And I can guarantee you they will do it much better than they will in places like Saudi Arabia and in China.
Okay, so Larry, we've got probably about 4 minutes left. This assault on the American middle class. Now, it's really been a long time in coming, and you mentioned the last administration. A couple of things. They had moved the Bureau of Land Management to Grand Junction instead of keeping it in Washington, D.C. This administration is moving it back. And the theory on that was to have these different agencies out where they're really are the people that they affect. And what are we going to do? Because it is almost like at warp speed, the amount of policies and executive orders and all this that's coming down. I mean, I feel like they're trying to destroy the American working class, the middle class. And what do we do? Because I'm super concerned about it, Larry.
Yeah, what a crazy notion that was, right? Having government bureaucrats be closer to the people who they work for. Oh, what a crazy, that was too crazy, I guess. So they did have to move it back to Washington, D.C. I thought it was a fantastic idea. You should have to face the people who are paying your paycheck as a government employee. And I have to, give a little apology to the citizens of Denver in the Colorado area, because the head of the Interior Department is a former congresswoman from New Mexico, Deb Haaland. We mentioned at the time she would be the most radical leftist secretary that we've ever seen, and so far she is proving that point. When she's not having a maskless wedding down in New Mexico, she is putting a moratorium on any development on public lands, which, as I mentioned, a federal judge found to be illegal, and slowing any type of responsible development that would take place otherwise. That's denying jobs, that's denying revenue, and that's denying opportunity for so many families. I mean, let's just be honest. A lot of it shows there in the BLM decision. In a Washington mindset, nobody believes that they would want to be in Colorado. Why would anyone want to be in Colorado? That's the Washington, D.C. mindset. And when you look at people who say, you know what, I love it here. I love the rural way of life. This is the community where my grandmother is, where my parents are, where I want to raise my children. That is completely foreign to the folks in Washington, D.C. And so they feel no second guessing on their part when they work to undermine the jobs in those rural communities. It's like, well, why would anyone want to live there anyway? And that's just the divide that we've seen become worse under this administration, haven't we? We've seen it that they really don't care about the industry that supports this community because they don't live in that community. They've never visited. They've never talked with the people. And when they isolate themselves, like moving back to Washington, D.C., it only makes problems like that worse. And so the fact of the matter is, meeting these workers face-to-face, seeing how much they care about the land, seeing how much they want to responsibly develop a resource that, oh, by the way, makes our way of life possible, it would go a long way to, I think, making it so that they don't have, the green dollars and the green agenda in Washington doesn't have so much of pull.
Can we stop this big bill?
You know, I think it is the good news is there are some there is bipartisan concern over it just because of the massive amount of spending that is in it and also the tax. I know that Senator Manchin from West Virginia was really concerned about the part I mentioned before where electric providers have to choose the power sources that they use on it. And so all that to say, I would say, you know, yes, you could, but I think you have to, and like you're doing, Kim, you have to educate your neighbors. You have to educate your friends about, you know what, for our whole lives, we flip the switch and the light has come on. That is in danger. When you know, you mentioned Texas, I'll also mention California, their blackouts. When you switch to sources of energy that rely on the weather, then you're at the whims of the weather as to whether or not you'll have energy. And that is not the way our society is built. And I mean, I don't know about your hospitals in Denver, but my hospitals here need energy 24 hours a day to keep people alive. I'm sure yours do as well. And so it is not something that needs to be toyed around with by giving up to unreliable sources.
Well, and to your point, Larry, you said something about this messing around with the foundation. And once you do that, it's tough to make the corrections on that. And so, first of all, this bill needs to be killed. And we need to do everything possible. So thank you for the work that you are doing with Power the Future, because it truly is reliable, efficient, abundant energy and affordable energy that really helps us power our lives. So Larry Behrens, thank you so much for joining us today.
Kim, so great to talk with you. I hope you have a great day.
And right back at you. And our quote for today is, again, anonymous. It says, a person doesn't know how much he has to be thankful for until he has to pay taxes on it. So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Twisting, turning further from my home. Young, like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, AM 560 and 100.7 FM.
CN, the world leader in independent talk radio.